Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, hour number two. We are back. TK Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. What's happening on this beautiful Tuesday across the country? 3 hours every day nationwide. We gotcha. And we're hanging out inside our Quicken Loans studios. As always, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. We'll get to this Bryce Harper story in a second. It is interesting. I wish somebody would have put their name on that.
I know.
We'll get to it. It's coming up, T.
I think it might be a smokescreen. But last week while you were out, we had Kenyon Martin in. And Kenyon Martin, I mean, you would have like gone nuts if you would have heard his take on where you thought LeBron was going. Because you don't want this. He said New York.
Oh, I saw the tweet. Yeah. I saw the tweet.
So where do you think LeBron
with
is
all due respect to Kenyon, the take is so dumb. Because it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That I didn't even respond. Like, I actually saw it in my golf cart, right? And I was going to quote tweet it. And I'm like, this doesn't even deserve a response.
Well, that's what you should have tweeted.
There's no chance.
You should have tweeted that.
Well, then I'm like, well, wait, came out my command. No, then again, call it a dumb. He's not going to love. No, dumb's not the right word. It was ludicrous. I'll certainly stand by that. There is no chance. None.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
It makes no sense.
But.
That LeBron would come to the Knicks.
With that being said, where do you think he's going to end up?
Lakers. I do. And I've always really thought that. I've never wavered on that. He's not going to the Celtics. Rockets, I guess I'll leave the door open slightly ajar. He's not joining the Warriors. I would have to put it this way. I would say Lakers 1. I would say Sixers 2.
Yeah.
Rockets 3. Everything else is a pipe dream.
Interesting. Philadelphia sounds interesting, but you talk to people who love the Philadelphia 76ers, and they say, we don't want them. Just like
Is that what they say?
Yes.
Why would they say that?
Because a lot of people, BT, do not like LeBron James.
No, the only reason I don't want him on the Knicks is because he spurned us during his prime.
Petty.
Like an Italian, I have a long memory. I'm not going to forget about this.
You
don't want us.
So when Kenyon was here, now Kenyon plays in the Big Three, and obviously his team Trilogy went undefeated, and they won the championship last year. And so we also had Ice Cube on.
Yeah.
And we asked Ice Cube, at least I asked Ice Cube, do you think that LeBron will be loved if he goes to Los Angeles? This is what he said. Yeah, and this is why I asked the question.
He's 33.
But this is why I asked, BT, because if he goes there, LeBron needs to be loved, man. Is he going to go to L.A. and not be, you know what I mean?
Well, there's different types of love. There's affection. Well, there's different levels of affection. There is the, you know, your hours, even though Shaq wasn't drafted by the Lakers. Yeah. Not that it was Kobe.
But he won championships, so it's different.
I know, and he was younger, and it was just different.
Yeah.
I mean, you think that, and here's the other thing. If he goes to the Lakers, do you really think he's signing a four-year deal? He's going to do the two-year opt-out. You know he's going to do something like that. So, I mean, that's what I think now. Unless I read or hear something, more so hear something, that's really moving, that forces me to reevaluate my pecking order, Lakers 1, I would say Sixers 2, Rockets 3. With heavy odds, I would put money on the Lakers. And Cavaliers. You know what? Let me amend that slightly. Lakers 1. I'm still going to put the Cavs 4th. He's bouncing. Get some calls before we get to the Bryce Harper stuff? All right. Let's get Mark, who is in Louisiana. Mark is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Mark, what's happening, buddy?
How you doing? I said Louisiana. I'm really calling from New Orleans.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
I got two things real quick.
Yep.
You had said about when you first come on, you know, about LeBron going to L.A. and get DeMarcus Cousins, Paul George, Chris Paul, and
Redick.
Right?
Yeah, Redick.
Oh, well, I'm not talking Redick. I don't know about him, but I know about the other three.
Gotcha.
The guess three I know. DeMarcus Cousins is going to stay in New Orleans.
Now he might.
There's no doubt about it. Reporters are saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
And by the way, Mark, with all due respect to the reporters in Louisiana, the next time they break a big NBA story, because it's always Woj, give us a call. I mean, you say all the reporters are saying it. When was the last time a Daily Beat reporter broke a story? They don't even break them for the Knicks in New York. They don't.
You're talking about New York.
You know that I'm right. They don't.
You're right, because they're too close to it, actually.
It's Woj, it's Stein. You know the names.
Well,
come on.
You can't tell the local guys everything because they'll report it. It's just what happens. Yeah. So it's the national guys end up getting the scoops.
All right, Chris Paul. Yep. And I'm taking him by his word. He said he wants a max deal, okay?
Would you give Chris Paul a max deal?
There's no chance.
No, but he says he wants. I'm taking him by his word.
Okay, but he's not going to get it. So where's he going to go?
He's going to stay in Houston. Mm.
Unless he can play with his boy.
You know, and by the way, Mark, that's not completely implausible. I could see him staying with the Rockets. Now, the Rockets would have to add something. You got to trade Anderson, who's making $20-something million a year.
Yeah.
You got to move a few pieces. But it wouldn't stun me. He seems to have really enjoyed himself there.
Yeah, Ryan Anderson, 8 minutes a game. God. I mean, you got to move him.
But that video of him trying to guard various Warriors.
Yeah.
That should be put up at every – you know how Dickie V used to speak? I don't know if he still does it, like the Nike camps and all. That should be like a 30-second montage of how not to play defense.
Yeah.
Like, that was embarrassing.
He was glued to the bench, man.
That was bad stuff right there. Let's get Mike, who's in New York City. Mike is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Mike!
Hey, guys. What's up? Love the show.
Thank
appreciate you,
Mike. You,
man. Come what's correct up, with this one. Don't agree with BT.
I'm not. I mentioned a couple months ago about how an all-African-American front office.
Yeah, you did.
For LeBron.
You did.
And now you add, I mean, you mentioned right after that, you answered about, you know, maybe they'll bring in an African-American coach, and they brought in Fizdale. Not only is he African-American, he's extremely close with LeBron, with a lot of the former Heat players and all the players that he's come across, Mr. besides Marcus Hall. But, I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but Kenny Martin's not the only one that mentioned it. Jalen Rose mentioned it a couple times this year. Reggie Miller mentioned it yesterday.
It's not happening.
Not how they think he should come.
There's no chance. Mike. There's all the things that you hit are compelling points and points of interest for LeBron. He loves Fizdale. He loves him. You're absolutely, he trusts him. Dolan still owns the team.
Mm-hmm.
He still owns the team.
Yeah.
Okay. But piggybacking on your point at the beginning of the show about how he's doing it in the more unconventional way as opposed to Jordan, you know, the only way he can make up those losses in the finals going somewhere where they're so starved for a championship, like New York. If he goes to New York, wins one championship, even goes to the finals, he's Mark Messier times eight.
Yeah, I mean there's value in that. And
I'm not
going to
fight
you
on that.
Mike, good call. Because
thanks,
because you're right. In New York, you win a championship. Even if you win one, ever. Joe Namath is living off a championship from 1969.
It's amazing.
Seriously.
I know.
And he's not even a super great quarterback over the history of the league.
More picks than touchdowns.
But he won a championship in New York.
Yep.
And you do that, there's something valuable to it for sure.
Listen, I'll tell you this much. You know, this whole pipe. And there's still some Knicks fans that I know that tweet at me and they say the same thing. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe LeBron. Listen, the only situation that I could see, and this is fictitious because it's too late.
Yeah.
If Porzingis played, say, 75, 76 games last year and continued on that path of stardom that he was going down.
You could see the trajectory.
Boom. And if Neil Akita, who I actually like a little more than others, was more polished and had a little more maybe Mitchell, even though there's a different kind of player, or even Dennis Smith who popped early.
Talking about an aggressiveness.
Yeah. And if I'm LeBron, I'm sitting there, I'm saying, okay, I love Fizdale, but I trust his philosophy. Mm-hmm. And I like his coaching staff. He brought a few others that he worked with in Miami. Porzingis is a unicorn, and they just nailed the home run with Neil Akita. And as much as I like Frank, it's not a home run. Hopefully it's a solid double when it's all said and done. And they've got a top 10 pick now. Now maybe at least let me kick the tires. He's not coming here with KP, not playing at the minimum until January. And Neil Akita, they don't even know if he's a point guard. I mean, this is fact.
But he did grow a couple inches, I heard.
He physically looks good. He put on a few pounds, too. And I like him, but he's got a ways to go. He's 19, 20. Rusty, hey, our good buddy Rusty in the beautiful state of Montana. Rusty, how are you today,
What's up,
pal?
Rusty?
Doing great, BT. How you doing?
Good, Rusty. Thanks for calling again. Appreciate it.
How's my brother doing today?
All is fantastic, my friend. What's up with you?
Oh, not much. Hey, I was thinking, you know, why wouldn't he go to the Clippers? They're wide open. He might even end up owning the team when it's all said and done. He could bring them all down there. Maybe even Melo. Throw Melo in.
Melo's finished. Rusty, who's coaching the Clippers at this point? Because, you know, CP3 don't want to play for Doc.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No, I know. They'd have to can him, and They'd have to get whoever LeBron wanted. He'd make his own team down there.
Yeah. I mean, he could pretty much make his own team anywhere, but I guess the reason why the Clippers, to me, aren't a real viable option, there's just too much work to do.
Yeah.
There's just too many unknowns.
Yeah, there's not youth.
You know what I mean?
There's not anybody exciting that you're looking at going, well, this guy in a year or in a couple of months could work on this and that and the other thing and perfectly compliment LeBron. It just doesn't – that conversation's not happening in the other side of L.A.
So real quick, you asked me where I think he's going. Give me your top three. Give me a pecking order.
I mean, I like Philly because it makes sense. It's immediate. It feels like they compete right away. Los Angeles is the one where I actually think he's going to go. It's two for me, though, because of his lifestyle. He wants the lifestyle. He wants to be, you know, his family to grow up. He wants to be, you know, a place where he can build businesses and do all these different things.
He could have that with the Clippers again.
He could. True. But, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I got you.
And then third for me is San Antonio.
I never even put him on my list.
He respects Popovich.
Loves him.
Everybody loves Popovich.
Reveres him.
The question with San Antonio, though, and I talked about this a little bit last week with Pete Gillen when he filled in on Monday and Tuesday, BT.
Mm-hmm.
When something like that happens, meaning his wife passes away,
yeah,
you don't know what do you do? Like, do you sink back into work and it's all-encompassing? Or do you kind of just emotionally shut down? We have no idea.
Everybody's different, so there's no universal answer.
And so there's a little bit of a, I don't want to say a risk, because that's just the wrong way to position it.
I know what you're saying. It's an unknown.
It's an unknown.
I got you.
But if Kawhi comes back around, it seems like they're starting to repair that rift.
Yeah.
And LeBron goes there. You bring in, you know, some of these, you know, obviously Tony Parker's got to say, hey, dude,
nah, Tony, you got to go back to you can stay in the States, yeah, but you got to stop
or
playing basketball.
Be a coach, man. Coach for us. We love you, man. But,
right.
You know what I mean? But they could augment that roster a little bit because there could be space.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It makes sense, but a lot of it hinges on Pop.
Okay. We'll pick this up many times, I'm sure,
before now, and
this actually goes down in a couple of weeks here. Corey Pavin's going to join us next. Corey Pavin won the previous U.S. Open. It was 2004. That was Retief Goosen. Before that, in the mid-90s, before you and I even watched golf, certainly way before we ever played, Corey Pavin hit a four-wood that just rattled the entire golf world on 18 at Shinnecock. Corey Pavin, really looking forward to this conversation. 1995 U.S. Open champ. He joins us coming up next on Tiki and Tierney. All right, men, if you're ready to reduce the gray in your hair, go with the smartest product available, Experience Control GX, just for men. It's the first shampoo with a brain. Well, what makes it so smart? It reduces gray the same way it grows in, gradually. So the more you shampoo with Control GX, the less gray you have. Pretty simple. Just use it until you like what you see. How smart is that? Smart enough to be voted men's hair care product of the year. Gradually reduce gray with the first shampoo with a brain. Find Control GX in the shave aisle.
And this week on my podcast, Tiki's Barbershop, I talked with Dr. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. Who is that? Well, he's the starting right guard for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he is brilliant. He spent the last 7-8 years getting his medical degree from McGill College up in Canada. This guy didn't practice in college. He just turned out to be amazing. And I ask him, now that he is a doctor, whether it was hard or not to reconcile being an MD while playing a violent sport like football.
Okay, 22 minutes past the hour. Obviously a big week. Not too far from where Teek and I are in our studio, about 90-ish miles east if you're in New York City. And if you maybe hit the roads at, I don't know, 2 in the morning, you might get there with no traffic. Otherwise, it's going to take you about 10 hours. But it's a great venue. I was out there in 2004 for Retief Goosen, and our next guest actually had one of the immortal swings. Really, I don't think that's overstating it. One of the truly immortal swings in the history of golf. To do that at the U.S. Open, to grab a four-wood, what the hell does that thing even look like? Like a mallet. And bang it basically 225 feet to the stick and eventually beat out Greg Norman. Wow. And we're joined by Corey Pavin, who's still playing. He's on the senior tour. And he's got the championship, the one major from 95, as I said. Corey, it's Tiki and Tierney. It's an honor. How are you today, man? Welcome to our show.
Yeah, pleasure. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt. And I read a great story. Tiki read this as well. How you really trusted your caddy. We read this morning. How I believe you were about to grab the 2-iron. You had an inclination that was the club to hit, and you asked him, and he very candidly said, nah, man, in so many words, you ain't getting there with a 2-iron. And I read that, I'm like, as somebody who plays, and Tiki plays, what in terms of yardage, like your 2-iron back then to the 4-wood that you hit, what was the usual gap, 10 yards, 12 yards? I'm curious how that whole interaction played out.
Yeah, you know, the gap between my 2-iron and 4-wood's about, you know, 10 to 15 yards. It depends on how I want to hit it. But, you know, the way the conversation went is, you know, Eric gave me the yardage, and I said, do you think I can get a 2-iron there? And he said, no way, which is a great answer because it's definitive. It takes all doubt out. And I said, is it a 4-wood? And he goes, yes. And
wow.
That was it. And so it was a very easy, quick decision and very positive. That was the important part. There was no doubt that that was the club to hit. And, yeah. And that's very important under pressure to make sure you have no doubt.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's probably the biggest part. You're not thinking about it at all because we've seen this many times on tour. You start questioning back and forth with your caddy. Well, I think this, like you think that. And before you know it, you have very little confidence in yourself. How often do you relive that? Because it was such an epic moment in U.S. Open history. And we were talking about it before the show started, how you got off the green, you signed your card, you go up in the booth, man.
With Dick Enberg.
Yeah, you're part of the broadcast, which is so odd. But, I mean, how often do you relive that? Because it has – I mean, it's a special moment, obviously, but it's got to be fantastic.
Yeah, you know, a lot lately because I've been getting a few requests, obviously, with Shinnecock being this year, hosting U.S. Open. And but, you know, I don't think about it too much unless somebody, you know, brings it up or talks, you know, asks me questions about it. You know, I've got other things to worry about and think about. You know, it's a good thing to remember and look back on. And, you know, it's a confidence builder and that type of thing. But, you know, what you're saying, going up in the booth afterwards, you know, back then there was an 18-hole playoff the next day. So I didn't need to warm up. I didn't need to, you know, get ready for a playoff right then and there. So that's why I went up, because I didn't have to prepare for anything, you know, right after the tournament.
Uh-huh.
You know, there was a playoff. It'd be the next day.
That's amazing. And by the way, this is the first year, for those who might not know, there's now a two-hole aggregate. So last time we had the extra 18 holes is the last time Tiger Woods won the major back in 08 at Torrey when he was hobbling around on the one wheel when he beat a very game Rocco Mediate, who was hobbled as well with a bad back. And we know Rocco's a character. But no, the 18-hole format is totally different. It's a two-hole aggregate. And listen, I understand that golf is about sportsmanship and it's a gentleman's game. And I certainly believe in those virtues and I try to adhere to them. An occasional foot wedge aside, or I'm taking this putt, and no matter what anybody says, I try to play golf the right way. I try. But I got to be honest, if I'm sitting in the booth and I'm you, and I believe Greg Norman was the runner-up that year, I'm sorry. I mean, I know that the right thing to say on the air right now, Corey, is I was hoping that he would make par or whatever, and I was hoping that he wouldn't blow up. I would hope that he get a snowman. I don't want him to be. I mean, what were your emotions? Because I know you don't actively root against golfers. Yeah. That's unsportsmanship. But I don't know. But to get your first major, if I'm him, I'm hoping he three putt. If I'm you, three putt, put one in the sand, put one in the weeds. I mean, what were you thinking?
Well, you'd put a little jinx on him, huh? Is that
Mean, I might have to. Yeah, the old Italian horns. Might have to stick them right at him.
Well, you know, I'm kind of under the belief that, you know, whatever is going to happen is going to happen no matter what I'm thinking or whatever is going on. So, you know, I didn't want him to hole a second shot on 18, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, because he would have tied me if he had. But, you know, at that point, I was just watching and seeing what was going to happen. And actually, in my head, I was thinking, you know, all the things that had happened to Greg in the past, you know, Larry Mize pitching in at the Masters and Bob Tway pitching out of the bunker to beat him in major championships and a couple other things that happened to him. And I thought, you know, the golf gods might try to equalize this and he might hole it out from the fairway. And, you know, that's kind of the way I had to think that way because I had to be ready for a playoff the next day.
Yeah.
I was already kind of preparing for it. And if it didn't happen, then that's fine. You know, that's actually more than quite fine, but yeah, I don't cheer against players. You know, I just watch them and be prepared for, you know, the worst to happen in essence. So that I'm ready to do whatever I need to do.
I got you.
I don't like to be surprised.
I hear you. No, listen, when you're hitting a ball for a living, the element of surprise is probably not a very good variable. I'm with you. You want to try to control as much. In a very uncontrollable game, you want to try to control what you can. That's the great Corey Pagan.
Right.
Right? I got you. Corey, of course, the immortal 4-wood back in the mid-90s at a great venue. Shinnecock Hills, the 118th U.S. Open coming up this weekend, or this week, about 90 miles from where Tiki and I and Corey's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Corey, what do you remember about Shinnecock? I mean, I'm sure it's changed a little bit from back then, but You also played it in 04. What can the golfers expect? Because sometimes U.S. Open, not necessarily Shinnecock, but sometimes U.S. Open, people will say is punitive and unfair. What do you remember about it, and what can the guys expect this week?
Yeah, well, Tiki, it's good to talk to you again. It's been a long time. I saw you in New York. Gosh, it's been over a decade.
Yeah,
I feel like.
It was when I was at a completely different point in my life. I think I was just retired from the NFL. I was still big.
Yeah.
I couldn't swing a golf club back then. Now I actually can, but I still suck, so it doesn't matter.
Well, at least you have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, the guys are not going to have fun this week at Shinnecock. I mean, it's a very hard golf course. I think it's very fair, though. I mean, you can say it's penal, but it's very fair, and that's what I like about Shinnecock. It's all really out in front of you, and there's nothing, you know, the ball doesn't take any weird bounces. You know, obviously in 04, the USGA made a little mistake on the course setup on Sunday.
Yeah.
It dried up too much, but, you know, it happens once in a while. When you live on the edge, sometimes you fall off. So, you know, that was unfortunate that happened, but, you know, I think Shinnecock's one of the best golf courses in the world. And it's beautiful. It's fair. It's right in front of you. You know, I know the fairways are a lot wider this year than they have been in the past.
Okay,
which makes me, you know, leads me to believe that, you know, the greens are going to be pretty firm.
Mm.
You know, the forecast is for no rain.
Oh.
So that's, oof, you know, wait, the USGA is loving that.
Oh, I love it.
They'll have control of the conditions of the golf course, so man, they're not at Mother Nature's mercy. So they'll like that, but I think you'll get a champion out of the golf course. It's because it is a fair course. It tests your driving, it tests your iron shots, it tests your short game, and especially your putting as well. So, you know, I'd say it's one of the fairest venues that the U.S. Open is ever on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been watching a little bit on TV, and they're talking about it should be played there every year.
Wow.
Made a few comments like that, but you know, of course it won't be, but
yeah,
it is an excellent venue for the U.S. Open.
Well, listen, it's got a real rich history. You go back to the 1896 U.S. Open. They had a Walker Cup event there in 1977.
Yeah.
Raymond Floyd in the mid-80s before our guest Corey Pavin won his in 95. Raymond Floyd, who was a real steely competitor, man. Raymond would get after it, as I'm sure you could attest, Corey. He won before you and Retief Goosen in 04. And you talk about, you know, striking that delicate balance between fair and unfair. Let's just not get a repeat of the seventh hole, which is what went down in 04 when it was unfair. I mean, you have a leg putt, and you know, you leg at 4 or 5 feet, you wind up in a bunker. You just can't simply have that. But I need an honest answer from you on this, because I get it, Corey. 1990. You're not a kid. You're not a kid. I'm not a kid. Tiki's not a kid. You're not a kid. And the U.S. Open, and even when you were young, you weren't a masher in terms of pure distance. You were more precise and more a real cerebral golfer. And obviously great, but a different type of ball striker.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you win it in 95, all right, you're in your golfing prime for the most part. You come back in 04. You don't embarrass yourself. I believe you finished tied for 17th with Tiger Woods. Why in the world, when I know that you put in for an exemption with the USGA, why would they not grant you the freedom to play? Like, to me, that's such a buzzkill. Why in the world is Corey Pavin not playing this week when Corey Pavin wanted to play this week?
Well,
it's awful.
That's a question for them. But,
this
know,
is why he asked you for an honest
that's
answer.
That's why I said I want an honest answer. I had to set it up, Corey.
I'll give you as honest answer as I can. You know, obviously I asked for one, and I pleaded my case and gave them the reasons I'd like to play, and they decided not to do it. You know, they didn't give one to Retief, and they didn't give one to me. And that's their decision. You know, I can't sit here and say exactly why they did it, because I don't know exactly why, but they just said they weren't going to do it. And, you know, I have to accept that and live with that. I thought it'd be really fun to play. You know, I played in 86. I played in 95. I played in 04.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be fun to play in the, you know, it would probably be my last U.S. Open. It'd be a fun place to finish it up.
Sure. So, I mean, they don't even give you the respect of a detailed answer. Like, if I'm you, I would.
Well, whose call is it? Is it
the USGA?
It's the USGA, or is it
I didn't say that exactly, but.
Okay. Okay.
You know, they gave me some reasons, but you know, I'd rather have them express them than me.
But is it because they don't think you can play at that level anymore? Because you're playing pretty well on the scene. I know the senior tour is different, yeah, obviously, but you know the course. Was it a physical thing?
Well, I think the bottom line is, you know, that maybe I was just a little too old to play in it, and they wanted to keep the field a little stronger. You know, they didn't really say that per se, but you know, I felt like I could still go out there and play and certainly be very respectful. And you know, I felt like I could certainly make the cut, well enough. So, but that's their decision, and you know, that's their organization, and
that's weak, man. I'll say it for you. That's weak.
What I can.
Yeah. That's weak. Hey, there's only so many times you get a chance to really flirt with history. Yeah. They missed the boat on this.
Corey, here's what's going to happen when the middle of the pack is like plus 12.
Which it will be.
BT's going to be tweeting at you at the PGA.
I'll take care of Corey. My dad always like, I remember watching Corey when I didn't even care about golf. I'm like, who's this little guy with the porn mustache? Yeah. Like back in the day. And this guy's a great player. Listen, he's not just this win. He's got 15 wins to his credit. He's got some resume. And as I said, as we introduced him, one of the immortal swings of all time. Man, if you hit the 2-iron, do you think you would have reached it in hindsight? Do you think you would have gotten it home?
You know, I think I could have put it on the front right of the green.
Yeah.
And had a, you know, 50-foot putt. But, you know, the forward was definitely the club to get it up to the hole.
Yeah.
And it was certainly the correct club to hit, no doubt about it. You know, you can still make a wrong decision and hit a good shot, but, you know, that was the right decision and the right shot. So, yeah, I wish I'd made the putt. I wouldn't have had to sweat it out with Greg in the 18th fairway. But, you know, I was just very pleased. You know, it was at a point in my career where, you know, I'd won, I think, 13 times or 12 times at that point. And I was 35, and it was like, okay, you know, it's, you know, the hourglass is running out of sand. So, it was a win that I'd been looking for a long time to win any major, but to win the U.S. Open and at Shinnecock on top of that, that was pretty cool. And I'm glad that I had the opportunity to win a major championship.
Yeah. Well, I know you said you don't think about it often, but I'm glad you shared your thoughts on it with us ahead of a Shinnecock U.S. Open coming up in a couple of days. We appreciate you, Corey, man. Good luck on the senior tour, and hopefully you'll be laughing to yourself when these guys are putting up double-digit
snowman
over par out of Shinnecock this weekend.
Thank you, pal.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it. You guys take it easy.
Anytime. Corey, the great Corey Payton. We'll throw that out there for him. Certainly a great moment. 15 wins. It's a lot of wins on tour.
It's a lot.
And he wasn't a masher. He's a small guy.
You're right. That's why I liked him, because he was a little dude.
He reminds me. I know we got a break. I didn't watch golf in the mid-90s, so maybe it's not, if you're an old-time golf fan, you know, grant me the latitude to be a little bit off with this comparison. I think he's a little bit like Zach Johnson. Zach's not a masher. Now, Zach is a little more accomplished in terms of majors, obviously. He's won a Masters, a British Open. But, you know, great golfer, thinking man's game, steely competitor, not the most prodigious physical talents. I don't know if that's the perfect comparison, but basically what I'm trying to say is I got a lot of respect for Corey Pavin. I know the golf world does as well. All right, that was good. Let's get a quick timeout. We'll get Axe Update. We'll see what's happening there. We'll come back. We'll do football at the 40s. Axe Update is right now. Here's Rich. Hey, yo, turn the bass up. Turn the bass up, Joe. Turn the bass up, yo. I sit back with this pack of zigzags and this bag of this weed that gives me. Okay, the player of the week brought to you by Grange. Lonzo, we can't shine my rapping shoes. Take a look at the one who got it done. This week it's Paul Goldschmidt, who was ice cold for a while. He was scuffling, hitting about 209 with 7 home runs through the month of May. However, June, as expected, a little bit of a different tale for the star. Goldschmidt smashing, hitting .463, 5 bombs, 12 ribbies, and an impressive triple the other night. And he leads the NL West leading Diamondbacks to an 8-2 record. That's what he's done so far in the month, and he's raised his average to a more respectable, still probably 40 or 50 or 60 points away from Goldschmidt territory, but he's hitting .253 now, so Goldie getting hot. All right, the player of the week brought to you by Grainger. Delivering the products that keep your facility running is what Grainger does best. They've been doing it for 90 years. Visit Grainger.com for whatever you need, whenever you need it. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. It's actually one of my favorite Eminem songs. A little underrated there.
Oh, and he's great.
That's a good one. Yeah. Just got such venom, spitting at you.
He's full of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
He has been.
Ah, man. What do you think, Corey? Just a quick aside before we get to football at the 40s. If you're Corey Pavin, right? Somebody like that, or somebody from that generation, and you're playing on the senior tour now, got millions in the bank. He didn't make Tiger Woods or Phil money. I get that.
But he did well.
He's got millions in the bank. He's got endorsements, all that stuff. Probably got real estate. He's done well. He's invested wisely. He's a smart guy. What do you do when you wake up? I mean, you're 58. Your kids are grown.
Well, you still do.
Are you going to really go and smash 500 balls to try to... Do you still think that like the pursuit of perfection for an imperfect sport
is
still there?
You're probably there the same. You're just not working as intensely.
Yeah.
Maybe intently, but not as intensely.
Smarter with your practice habits.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably more about stretching and just keeping the body maintenance
staying
up.
Staying physically viable as opposed to going out there and whacking it around and be like, oh, I got a little kink in my back. And next thing you know, you're out of commission for a month.
Man, so that was good. If you guys missed that, YouTube, TikiandTierney.com, golf fan getting ready for the U.S. Open this week at Shinnecock, Corey Pavin. That was a treat. All right, Tiki, ready for football at the 40s, brother?
Yeah, let's get it.
Let's go. Okay, might have to turn up the old timetable for Josh Allen, thought by many of us to be a little raw, certainly a little raw and a little far away, especially with A.J. McCarron signing the one-year deal with the Bills. However, he's going to get some first-team reps in minicamp this week, and Sean McDermott, the head coach, is committed to that. And, you know, listen, we don't know what the summer holds. We certainly don't know what week one holds, but it looks like so far, so good for Josh Allen and the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about learning at this point. How much can you process? This means nothing running around in your underwear, minicamp, OTAs and minicamps. But let's not forget, A.J. McCarron is not an incumbent. Nate Peterman, you know, crapped the bed when he got his opportunity. And so Josh Allen is kind of on level playing field with all of these guys. And so why not get some first-team reps for him? And he figures it out, great. But I don't see him as a starter opening day. There's too many holes in his game.
I was going to say, you know, this isn't a team that's 3-13.
I know, they went to the postseason last year.
And a very competitive playoff game against the Jags, right?
You're right.
It wasn't a very pretty game.
No, it was ugly as hell, but they could have won.
They were right there. They're competitive. They've got some weapons, and you don't just thrust him in there if he's not ready. So, listen, McDermott's a young coach. He's going to have to trust, his instincts and his coaching staff here and just trust his eyes. And if Allen's ready to play, he will. I'm with you, though. I'd be a little surprised if Josh Allen plays or starts week one. But he's coming. It's going to be an interesting season because they're competitive, yet they've got the future. We just don't know if he's ready. Okay, we don't know if the Pats are ready either to extend the contract of Rob Gronkowski. Apparently they are, though, because it says very likely, although it's not imminent here, we know he wants more money. Pro Football Talk had this, according to a source with knowledge.
He needs to make more money.
Looks like he's going to make some more money, which he obviously deserves.
Yeah, Jordan Reed, who's a tight end for the Washington Redskins, who missed most of really every season. It seems like he's never healthy.
Every year.
He's making the same amount of money, almost the same amount of money as Rob Gronkowski. Here's a list for you, BT. Jimmy Graham, $13 million. Greg Olsen, this is cash in a year, $12 million.
He just got his new contract, Olsen.
Trey Burton for the Chicago Bears, $11.5 million.
Okay.
Zach Ertz, Super Bowl champion for the Philadelphia Eagles, $10.5 million.
Okay.
Rob Gronkowski, just under $9 million.
Yeah,
he's
ridiculous.
Underpaid, man. So yeah, this needs to get done.
And he's got a whole firm. I mean, he's got especially the way his body's betrayed him. I mean, he might have a year or two, and we thought he might retire this offseason.
No doubt.
Hold out, and you know what? Do the unpatriot thing for a minute. Be selfish.
Yeah.
Worry about yourself.
And force them.
Yes. To pay you.
And or go back on their statement that they will never trade him and all this trading nonsense is hogwash.
I'm going to put the onus on you.
Right.
You know what? You lost Edelman for the first month. Okay. You still got Tom Brady? Brady needs me. Yeah. Pay me.
Agreed.
There you go. All right. This guy's going to get paid as well. Just a matter of when. And credit to Odell Beckham Jr.
Doing
the right thing. You know, I was all over him because I thought he was just too juvenile and too immature to hand a blank check to. And listen, maybe he's just fooling us. Maybe he's just doing this to get paid.
So.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
But just for argument's sake, maybe he's doing this to fool us, get paid, and then he reverts back to being a bit of a child here. I don't know. It looks like he's ready to roll. He prefers to avoid the team reps and not rush back.
Yeah.
But this is on a good pace for both, I think, player and team here.
I mean, it's smart for him not to do this. And we all remember the circumstances. Because he was outside of the top 10 and he is on his fifth-year option, you definitely pick it up for a guy like that. He's making under $8 million, just about $8 million a year. If he was in the top 10 like Sammy Watkins, he'd be making 16, which is obviously the top five in the averages. But unlike Lev Bell, unlike Earl Thomas, unlike David Johnson, Arizona, unlike Zach, unlike a Khalil Mack, unlike Aaron Donald, and seemingly unlike Julio Jones, he's actually going to be there for minicamp. So hats off to Odell for doing the right thing when he could have easily held out and done what all these other guys are doing.
And to be fair, as much as I commend him for seemingly changing his tune or at least becoming professional or more professional, all the names that you ran through, quite frankly, of all those names, he's the one who had to change the most.
Oh, no doubt.
He had to change and show that, hey, I am flexible and I'm ready to conform on. I know he's always going to be an individualist, and that's what makes him. And he's a wide receiver, and he's got this vibe about him that is about me anyway.
Right.
But there's certain things you can't compromise. He's gotten the message. But the other guys, he had to, I think, more so than that.
I had no doubt.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers, not a big deal here, but he's among 16. Do we even have to waste time on this? Who cares?
Really.
Rodgers among 16 excused from
Packers
minicamp.
He's going to be fine. Go get Brett Hundley. Get Brett Hundley and Deshaun Kizer some reps. All right, whatever.
Next. Literally, next. All right, so suspended Cowboys defensive end Randy Gregory is expected to meet with the NFL. Now, you know, he's missed 30 of the past 32 games. Suspension, filed for reinstatement, and should be within the past 2 weeks he's done that.
Yeah.
I understand he was tantalizing coming out of college. Yeah. He has a skill set that you need to get after the quarterback here. But you knew what you were drafting.
Of course.
I feel sorry for Dallas.
Look, he's been bouncing around. He went to a junior college, you know, Arizona Western College to start. Then he committed to Purdue, but he was academically ineligible. He ended up at Nebraska. He was fantastic, had 10.5 sacks and interception, and then basically came into the NFL. And he tested positive for weed at the combine. Now, the narrative on cannabis is changing. And so, to me, should he be back? Yeah, I think he should be allowed back in the National Football League, especially as this conversation about cannabis changes in this country and also in the National Football League.
This is a cool item here. They compiled, there's a ranking of the best players ever for each team. This is really cool. Again, just for the AFC North here. So Ray Lewis for the Ravens. All right. The Browns are pretty obvious. Jim Brown.
No doubt.
Steelers, obviously a tough one with so many options. Who do you think they went with for the Steelers?
Mean Joe Green.
Yeah, I think 70s. You got it. Mean Joe, there you go. 69 to 81. Bengals. I actually think this is pretty easy. And by the way, where's our buddy Boomer? Boomer's number five.
Boomer's five?
Boomer's five, yeah. Jad Johnson's ahead of him.
Who's number one?
Anthony Munoz. Yeah, when you actually think about it, Munoz is pretty easy.
I was
easy.
Trying to think skill position player.
I hear you.
Or quarterback. Yeah, that makes sense.
Boomer's five. A.J. Green, obviously, clearly still active and still entrenched in his prime. He's number seven. Other names. Joe Flacco's number five for the Ravens.
It's just because the history's not that long.
Yeah.
All right? They were the Baltimore Colts, so it's one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ed Reed, Jonathan Ogden, Terrell Suggs, obviously Ray Lewis is one. Joe Flacco, five, ahead of Jamal Lewis, Haloti Ngata. Even Ray Rice is 11 on
the
list.
I saw that. Ray made the list. How scary is this for the Browns? Their top four players are from the 40s and the 50s. Brown, Graham.
Otto Graham, obviously.
Yeah, Otto Graham. Motley's on that list. Ozzie Newsome is the most recent one from 1970, like the first somewhat modern name that appears for the Browns.
He
should be on the Ravens, too.
You're right.
Totally different.
For executive.
Reason. Yeah.
No doubt.
Yep.
Got two Super Bowls.
He's the man. Just retired.
We didn't get to this one, BT, but Jersey legalized betting. Sent a note to Governor Murphy this morning saying congratulations on New Jersey A4111.
And then you took the Yankees, laying them minus -110 against the Nationals tonight. You sent a text on that. Hey, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. So, Andrew Luck finally, quote-unquote, throwing. He's got some pressure. Which player, though, has the most pressure entering this season? Next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.